it's a mystery, but it's kind of not.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as there's a woman murdered, happens very early in the book, and we do find out who done it, but I didn't... I quickly lost interest in that part of your book. I think that was the right thing.
I had, a great compliment was given to me by Tom Wolfe, who read the book, and said to me, you know, the thing I really love about this book is that there's a murder in it, but you don't care.
Yes. Okay, good. Good company then.
Yeah, you are in great company. Yeah. And I said, that's a great compliment because, no, the murder isn't, it's not, there's a sort of slight, there's a noir element to the book, and it's not just the murder. There's some other, features of that in there, sort of gothic and noirish. But the murder was never intended to be a secret of who done it. It's not a whodunit. It's pretty obvious who done it. And even if you might be slightly confused, you're not going to be like, wow, that is such a surprise, And I really never made a huge effort to try to conceal it. The murder is more of a way to examine the kind of fault lines that are running through this very idyllic place, and to show that, when you flip it over, first of all, it's sort of a class difference that's, is a way of, without being heavy-handed, or trying not to be, maybe, I don't know if I've completely succeeded, but that was the gist of it, that was my reasoning, to examine some of those things from that time period without, making moral pronouncements on them. Having it be just a fact. A dead body shows up. This is who it is. This is what's been happening. And then the way that it reverberates with the rest of the characters and causes the fault line split, causes, an earthquake for them.
The setting, it's... Where is it exactly?
It's a fictional Martha's Vineyard. I mean...
It seemed like that.
Yeah, it is. And I think, I'm not sure if it says that on there, but definitely my American Pilgrim just went ahead and put Martha's Vineyard on there. And I thought, well, okay. I never named it because, first of all, when I wrote it, I wanted the sort of space to not have someone say to me, well, that's not really, how that.
Candy, you turn left there, you actually run into the ocean rather than into the...
Exactly. So I never named it for basically that reason, and just to give myself a little more freedom from that. But it's a place where I've spent my childhood summers in Edgartown, which is where this takes place mainly, primarily. And it was like a huge sense memory place for me, It's like sort of very deep childhood memories of being there. It was a good place to draw from.
There's a lot of sex in this book. Not 50 Shades of Grey sex, but but you realize that it's like, oh, he's doing her and she's doing, it's like, yeah. Oh my.
There's not that many sex scenes.
No. Yeah. But when I started adding up who was doing what with who, it's like, they're very busy.
They are very busy. They're extremely busy. Plus, again, to me, it's sort of part and parcel of their, this sort of tiger carnivorous nature that they have. And each character has a reason for doing what they do. In Nick's case, it's because it's some way for her to prove something to herself, given that Hughes, her husband, is not seemingly attentive to her. Hughes just fell in love with somebody, and that just sort of happened, And then with Helena, it's, for even more sort of dark and nefarious reasons, mainly that she's basically out of it so much of the time and is being sort of manipulated.
The tiger in Red Weather comes from a poem?
Yes, it comes from a poem by Wallace Stevens, Disillusionment of 10 O'Clock, which is sort of about homogeneity and how only, rarely do we see these sort of sparks of imagination within... this very sort of flat and homogeneous world. And so for me, this is what a poem says, the only one who was different in essence is this drunk sailor asleep in his booth dreaming of tigers in red weather. And so I thought these people in a way were these people who all wanted to be that one spark. They all wanted to be that different and discreet and unique. So they were, that dream that this drunk sailor has.
Good job. I really enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad you did. Yeah.
Fun book.
Yes, it's a fun book.
And a creepy fun book.
Creepy is sort of my middle name. I like creepy.
It's like, I can, for some reason, I can imagine sitting in Martha's Vineyard reading this book while everybody else is reading something trashy like 50 Shades of Grey, but the smart people will be reading yours.
Yeah, someone said it was the thinking man or woman's beach read. Well, you know, I hate the term beach read, but if that's what it is, great.
The book is Tigers in Red Weather. I've been speaking with the author Liza Klausman and Tigers in Red Weather, published by Doubleday Canada. It's a Bond Street book.